When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, how are we doing on this glorious day? Welcome to another edition of Ringside Chaos, the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast and Pain Train Pipe Bomb Productions. You all know who I am, so there's no need for me to introduce myself. But ladies and gentlemen, I honestly have been fighting the urge to give my thoughts on what we saw at the All Elite Wrestling New Japan Pro Wrestling Forbidden Door 2023, because damn it, it was one hell of a show. As a matter of fact, I think that the show was so good that I can proudly declare this, ladies and gentlemen, is what I call professional wrestling. Let me say it again. This, ladies and gentlemen, is what I call professional wrestling. Because the card could not have been so stacked up so high. I had never probably seen, and in my entire life, I had never seen a pro wrestling card be so freaking unique. Unbelievable. The working relationship between AEW and New Japan, honestly, I think that in the bright future ahead of us, in the foreseeable future, that the relationship could only take things to the next level. And I really honestly hope that the AEW can, you know, reform relationships, hopefully with Impact Wrestling if it hasn't yet, hopefully Major League Wrestling as well. So, you know, AEW is just really not perfect, but I'm telling you, Tony Khan, I mean, you could just tell, like, he's really taking those chances. He's really trying to make AEW just such a major global pro wrestling promotion, and I think that he is making progress, and we'll have to wait and see how things turn out in the future. But I gotta tell you, this whole show, now, unfortunately, I mean, I watched as many highlights as I could. You know, I could not catch the show itself, but based on the reaction on Twitter from wrestling fans and all the wrestling fans that I've spoken to, nothing just but pure gratefulness from them. I mean, they're just so grateful that they actually got to see an amazing wrestling pay-per-view. As a matter of fact, I believe this was AEW's first ever pay-per-view show outside of the United States. So this was, because this was in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And I'm not entirely sure if New Japan ever actually did a show in Canada as well. So, but you gotta keep in mind, it's always worth trying something new. So, you know, and they really did it. So, this was actually, I believe, and I also, as a matter of fact, I should mention that this was actually, this was in the Air Canada Center. This was like the first time, like for a long, well, Forbidden Door was basically the first non-WWE pay-per-view to take place at the Air Canada Center since 1999, when WCW had their Mayhem show there. So, yeah. So, yeah, I was actually right. This was AEW's first pay-per-view to take place outside of the USA, and this was New Japan Pro Wrestling's first traditional pay-per-view to take place in Canada. So, a first time for everything, and I think the show, you know, went absolutely amazing. So going through the card right there, I got to tell you, you look at the lineup, you know, and the main event, but Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay, the IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship, Sting, Darby Allin, and, man, you see, I'm already losing my focus. And, you know, of course, Naito, who had recently been revealed as the mystery third partner for Darby Allin and Sting, so, you know, to go against Chris Jericho, Minoru Suzuki, and Sammy Guevara, CM Punk versus Satoshi Kojima, and Owen Hart, you know, Cup tournament, right? The men's Owen Hart Cup tournament. I mean, the Blackpool Combat Club versus the Elite, you know, again, I don't even know where to start. I mean, I don't even think I could even go through every single match because it would take all goddamn day. But there's definitely some things I really will have to actually go through. I will have to go through. So first things first, you know, in the pre-show. Well, I should mention that Tom Lawler, who was in this card, he was originally supposed to work a match with Adam Cole. But I heard that Adam Cole actually came down with an undisclosed illness and was actually not medically cleared to compete. But Tom Lawler did actually end up working anyway. He ended up working a match with Serpentico, which was, you know, in the pre-show, which he won. The match was a little over 4 minutes. So I think originally Adam Cole was to go against MJF, but you know, we all kind of about that. So. But I'm pretty sure that MJF and Adam Cole are definitely not finished yet. So, but one match in the pre-show that I really want to talk about, and the one that I probably only will talk about, is the Mogul Embassy versus Chaos. The whole concept with the Mogul Embassy is honestly one of the most exciting things ever. I mean, I gotta tell you, Swerve Strickland is honestly one of the greatest wrestlers I've seen, you know, in my adult life. You know, I've seen some of the stuff he did in Lucha Underground, Major League Wrestling, and of course he was with WWE from 2019 to 2021 before he went to All Elite Wrestling. And I'll never forget when I was at the Major League Wrestling Intimidation Games in March of last year, along with my good buddy Chris. Swerve Strickland actually worked a match with Myron Reed for the MLW World Middleweight Heavyweight Championship. So, and what was one hell of a match, you know. You know, from what he did, you know, WWE at NXT under the name Isaiah Swerve Sky, you know, things, you know, went incredibly well. And I'm sure hopefully things could have definitely gotten better. But, you know, and Swerve Strickland, you know, teaming up with Keith Lee as Swerve in Our Glory. I mean, Swerve in Our Glory, to be honest, is just one of the coolest names I've ever seen, you know, for a tag team. I mean, they were the AEW Tag Team Champions. And then I believe, you know, they lost the titles to the Acclaimed. And then, you know, that rematch at Dynamite Grand Slam, and then they lost to them at Full Gear. You know, Keith Lee basically had a chance of using the chair, but didn't. And then Swerve Strickland, you know, slapped him. So Strickland, you know, ended up turning heel, while Keith Lee remained a face. So, and now that he's with a stable known as, you know, at first it was known as the Mogul Affiliates, but then it became the Mogul Embassy. And I really just absolutely love the name Mogul Embassy. But seeing as how the match went, you know, just the way these eight man tag team matches go, I mean, you just know it's an all out war with, you know, both sides, you know, just getting big in the action, and then the crowd really getting pumped up. I mean, the crowd was into it, and when a match like this gets the crowd into it, when it's the pre show, it absolutely increases the excitement, you know, for the show itself. But you know, honestly, the Mogul Embassy picking up the win with Swerve, you know, actually, you know, getting the pin, to get the win. I mean, the match, according to Bleacher Report, they actually graded the match a B-. You know, I'd probably just give it a B+, you know, because the crowd was so in it. But it basically just kind of went exactly the way you would expect an eight-man tag team match to go. But from what I see from Mogul Embassy, I mean, I just think, I mean, the name is cool, because I always say, like, when it comes to a tag team or a stable, the name has to be catchy. It has to basically work. And, you know, and the Mogul Embassy, I just think that it's absolutely cool. I mean, imagine this, Mogul Embassy versus Chaos, you know. That right there is in basically the territory of a blockbuster match right there. I mean, you think about it. The Mogul Embassy versus Chaos. How could you not be excited? I mean, those two names match. But moving on, jumping up to Maxwell Jacob Friedman versus Hiroshi Tanahashi for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. Well, I'm not surprised clearly that MJF won. You know, but for Tanahashi, you know, the way that the match ended, of course, you know, MJF, you know, of course, using, you know, the dynamite, you know, his dynamite ring, you know, to get the win. The dynamite diamond ring, you know, to get the win. It's just, I just don't really like it when things end like this. But you know, MJF being the heel that he is, I mean, that's just the way it goes. You know, and for Tanahashi, this was actually the second time that he has challenged for the AEW title. I mean, he challenged Jon Moxley last year as well, so... You know, and MJF did a phenomenal job, you know, working the crowd to garner the heat and everything. But, you know, of course, you know, MJF, the way he would sell in the match and everything. You know, so MJF did his part. Now, I spoke to one of my listeners of the show, and he honestly believes in his... He honestly believes that MJF should have won cleanly. Well, I think that's certainly arguable, but it's certainly... it's another discussion for another time, I should say. But, you know, MJF, you know, at one point in the match when he was taunting kind of Hashi by mocking him and everything, so... MJF was working the crowd. I mean, MJF was doing his job to the best of his ability. Now, I'm sure the match could have gone a different way than the way it did, especially the finish, but... Now, this is definitely not the match of the night, but... You know, and everybody, you know, mentioning that... You know, at one point when Tanahashi had MJF, you know, in a dragon screw submission, like the cloverleaf, MJF was able to, you know, get to the rope, and then not long after that, I think the match ended. But honestly, you know, a lot of people have been telling me that they feel like MJF's title reign, has gotten stale, and that he should win the title pretty soon. I mean, I really don't think he's going to win the title until next year. I think right now, for the time being. We all know MJF is not done with Adam Cole. He's certainly not done with CM Punk. I mean, to be honest with you, I was asked on this show to predict who I think MJF may lose the title to. I may have done a prediction like this before, but I don't remember. But now, part of me believes that it's going to be CM Punk because, again, as I said, the whole issue between CM Punk and MJF, it's not over, and it has to be finished. But I'm sure I've said this, we just have to wait until the time is right. So the match between Tanahashi and MJF, well, definitely a match though, because MJF certainly worked the crowd. I mean, a match the way it goes like that, but you know, but seeing Tanahashi lose, you know, with the ring, I kind of feel like it probably would have been better if MJF had won cleanly, because I felt like the match would have been better, but MJF being the heel that he is, they had him win anyway. A heel would do it, so by cheating, obviously, but. You know, but that's how it goes. But I really honestly do believe MJF, I think, should have honestly won cleanly, but not by submission. Because, you know, that Iron Man match with Bryan Danielson, I mean, the fact that Daniel Bryan submitted, you know, in overtime, I mean, I felt that was completely unnecessary. But I honestly believe that MJF should have won cleanly. So then we get to CM Punk and Satoshi Kojima. Well, we all know, from what I first thing to point out is CM Punk was actually being heavily booed, you know. And of course, CM Punk it kind of seemed to be that CM Punk clearly liked it, so right now, I'm really thinking, is CM Punk a babyface or a heel? I would imagine right now he's actually in the middle, and I believe, if I'm correct, that the term is he's a tweener, so... But there was actually, I think at one point, there was actually a CM Punk chant, but then the boos, you know, basically overwhelmingly took over. But, the fact that at one point when Kojima countered the go to sleep, I think twice, and then CM Punk was able to finally get it and then get the win. So CM Punk is moving on. I mean, I would imagine right now, I wouldn't be surprised if CM Punk ended up winning the men's Owen Hart Cup tournament, so... But the match itself really, certainly not bad at all. You know, any match could always, you know, there's always time where we'd say the match could have gone better, but I can't say that it was bad, but Bleacher Report, you know, graded that what match would be, but the way the match kind of went, like, it's interesting how at one point CM Punk applied the Anaconda Vice, but Kojima was able to escape. And then, you know, of course, and again, he countered the go-to-sleep twice. So, this is one of those matches that's just a thriller with both guys literally, like, escaping a defeat, but then one guy, you know, ends up, you know, emerging victorious. I mean, this is one of those matches that, you know, it has to go like this. It's one of those thrillers, but, you know, but it really just basically, it really gives you the chance to witness, you know, just pure grade-A professional wrestling. I mean, you see two guys work a match to the best of their ability. And you see how one guy's being so heavily booed, but he's like, he's taking it in, he's like, he likes it. it's not bothering him at all, and then he ends up winning, so he can basically tell the crowd, "You booed me, and now look at me, I'm the winner in your face." So, oh man, even the way Punk was just selling the match as well. I mean, you could just tell Punk was just. We see Maxwell Jacob Friedman, we see MJF working the crowd, but CM Punk, does the exact same thing. And wrestlers have to work the crowd. If you're being heavily booed, then of course you want to work the crowd even more. You want to make them boo you even more. Like, the crowd wants to work you, but you know what? You got to work them as well. Like, you got to kind of react and work with the crowd as well. And I feel like that's what CM Punk did. That's honestly what CM Punk did. But now we get to this match. Oh, I swear to you, when people say that Orange Cassidy is underrated, I mean, honestly, Orange Cassidy has got to be the most criminally underrated professional wrestler I have ever seen. And God knows how many wrestlers I've described as being massively underrated. I think Orange Cassidy has got to be the most underrated professional wrestler in history. And I do mean in history. I mean, this goes more underrated than Owen Hart. More underrated than Gangrel, Crash Holly, and all these other wrestlers that I've described as underrated. But, and Orange Cassidy being the AEW International Champion, and him defending the title in a fatal four-way dance. Oh, man. I'm telling you, Orange Cassidy is just... This dude just goes further than far and beyond to just simply not only entertain the crowd, but to put on one hell of a match. I mean, the dude can wrestle. The dude can work around the ring. The dude can do a lot of great, unique things that you don't see in WWE. I mean, this match was graded an A-. And for Bleacher Report, I mean, it's hard enough to actually get an A. Sometimes some people would say it's impossible. But this match, definitely being a worthy candidate for being the match of the freaking pay-per-view, I mean, it certainly gives the biscuit. It certainly basically gives it a run for its money. But I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but I would imagine what was named the match of the show has to be Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay, but which we'll get to. But honestly, this match right there, just an absolute all-around thriller, and oh man, oh. I mean, what ended up happening after the match as well, it's just, oh boy. Again, so right now, I'm at a loss for words right now because just how this match is sometimes, but man, you look at it and it's just unbelievable. And Orange Cassidy, at this point, how long he's been champion? He's been champion since October, champion for 256 days. Now you're starting to imagine how much longer will Tony Khan keep the belt on him. I mean, I think right now, honestly, with the way things are going, Orange Cassidy, I think honestly you might as well keep the belt on him longer, but keep having him feature in these kinds of matches because Orange Cassidy is well over with the fans. You got to keep him over as well. So, I mean, the crowd was so into it. I mean, every single second of the match, I mean, the crowd was just into it. I mean. This is why I'm just waiting for a chance. I mean, these are all I've seen from highlights, but, I can honestly tell you based on how things went. I mean, if I was watching the show and this particular match, I would not even have gotten up. I would have not have taken my eyes off the TV screen. Even if I'm thirsty or if I have to go to the bathroom, I'm not moving because I do not want to miss any single second of this action. Because every single second of this match, is worth remembering, and I'm sure everybody that saw this match, they're gonna remember it so well. They're gonna be talking about this for a very, very long time. Let me tell you. So, I mean, all four of these brilliant competitors. I mean, they did their part, and man, oh man, and of course you mentioned one of the talents. Daniel Garcia, who of course is a member of the Jericho Appreciation Society. Oh man, you're really just seeing how he's just you know, priding himself and the way he's carrying himself, you know, out there, you know. Again, everything we saw from those competitors, I mean, it was just absolutely brilliant. So that's all I can say. So next one was Sonata versus Jungle Boy Jack Perry. Now, obviously, the highlight of this particular thing is what happened after the match, but I'm going to be honest with you, I saw this coming. I really did. I'd be lying to you if I said that I'm surprised about what happened with Jungle Boy. Now, this was a match for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, so, you know, seeing the New Japan, you know, title, you know, just be on the line right now. Oh, man, you know, and seeing Jungle Boy, you know, a challenge for it, so, you know, I think Jungle Boy, you talk about somebody who's already so massively underrated. I mean, Jungle Boy Jack Perry is also in this category as well. So, it's hard to basically, like, again, I mean, the match was about 11 minutes, so, and I think honestly, the way the match finished, I mean, people were surprised of how the match finished. I mean, I think especially because it was with that moonsault from Sonata, but it kind of makes you feel like it should have ended that way. But at the same time, Jungle Boy losing is no surprise. I think basically it's just the way the match went. I kind of feel like maybe the match probably should have been about four minutes. More, I think the match probably should have been about 15 minutes, honestly, but the match itself, the physicality, you know, those chops, I mean, Jungle Boy is, you know, he's one tough dude. I mean, let's be honest. He's certainly not the biggest guy, but hey, he's one tough son of a gun, let me tell you. I mean, Jungle Boy at one point even used Sonata's own signature hold against him, so, you know, sometimes you see baby faces do that, but sometimes when a baby face is teasing a heel turn, he's going to steal his opponent's finisher move and try to use it to get the win, but then it backfired. But man, after that, when Jungle Boy Jack Perry turned on his partner, Hook, and attacked him, you know, with the, oh boy, the crowd reacted, so. And of course, you know, Renee Paquette, you know, backstage, as Jungle Boy's walking backstage, she tries to get a word, and Jungle Boy's not having any of it. And of course, AEW recently advertised that Jungle Boy is obviously going to explain his actions. So, you know, it's interesting, you have Luchasaurus, who's doing a program with Christian, who recently became the TNT champion. You know, I told myself this, like, you know, if Luchasaurus is heel, then, you know, it would only be a matter of time until Jungle Boy turns heel. And now people are already asking me, like, are we going to see Jungle Boy, you know, join forces with Christian and Luchasaurus? I mean, maybe. I mean, I'll never forget that cage match between Jungle Boy and Christian, with one of the greatest steel cage matches I've ever seen. But I think for the time being, Jungle Boy clearly is going to go in a feud with Hook. And then imagine Hook's FTW title, and Jungle Boy is going to challenge him for it. So I'll have to see how things go, but so for the time being, I'm basically looking forward to see what Jungle Boy says in his promo. So, but until then, I mean, it's clearly obvious he's going to be working a program with Hook. But now we get to Team Elite versus Team Blackpool Combat Club. Oh, man. And Eddie Kingston, you know, joining forces with the Elite. But let me tell you, after all the times I've said that Chris Jericho is my hero, Chris Jericho is my hero. But Eddie Kingston is also my hero. And I broke the story before. I'm not even in that story now. But it was great to see Eddie Kingston again. I believe this was actually Eddie Kingston's first match, I believe, since, well, it's been a minute. I think because, you know, recently, Eddie Kingston had been out because he had hernia surgery. But, yeah, because when he worked that match with Claudio Castagnoli, you know, I'm trying to remember exactly the specific details, so, but, I mean, even this match got an A- as well, so it's good that, you know, already we have, like, two matches, you know, that have reached the category of A as far as a grade goes, but this particular match, you know, the Elite, you know, the Elite actually ended up taking the win, you know, but seeing, you know, the Blackpool Combat Club, you know, you got everybody right there, you know. You know, you're seeing, you know, Moxley, Wheeler, Yuta, and Claudio, you know, alongside Konosuke, Takeshita, and Shota Umino. So, I mean, this was a 10-man tag team match. So, you know, you got 6-man tag match, you got 8-man tag match. You know what? Might as well make it better. Why not add a 10-man tag match, you know, to the show as well? And that particular match gets an A-. And, you know, for me, the fact that Eddie Kingston was part of it, it makes me happy. So, oh, man. And, of course, the match being about 21 and a half minutes, you know, it kind of feel like, you know, that's the way the match should have gone. But now that I'm looking at it right now, trying to figure out exactly how, you know, when Eddie Kingston, because I know that he had suffered the injury, I think. Well, I'm not sure when he had suffered the injury, but I know that this was the first time we had seen him in action since he challenged Claudio, you know, for the title. So I'll never forget on March 2nd when he challenged Claudio for the title for the Ring of Honor World Championship at Supercard of Honor. And that took place March 31st. So basically, yeah. So where he lost. So I think this was actually the first time since March 31st that we had seen Eddie Kingston, because again he had hernia surgery. But the way this particular match goes, excuse me. And of course, Don Callis, of course, was at ringside, you know, at Takeshita's side as well. So, I just love that, you know, you see at the beginning, you see Eddie Kingston and Claudio Castagnoli start off the match because, you know, of course, it had to be that way. So, but you, then you see, you know, Kingston and Moxley, you know, fighting as well. I mean, all the chaos around the ring. I mean, when you have a 10-man tag, of course the chaos is going to spill all over the place, so. But man, you know, it's just the way things ended, you know, of course, you know, Eddie Kingston along with Tomohiro Ishii also joining in the mix as well. I mean, I think it was Ishii that actually got the pin, you know, for his team. He pinned Yula after that brainbuster, so. And I think at the match, you know, even Eddie Kingston ended up arguing. I think, you know, there was a little bit of a thing with the Elite, but he walked to the back without incident. So now we're starting to think, I mean, what's going to be going on with Eddie Kingston and the Elite based on the end. And somebody's already saying to me that Eddie Kingston, you know, could be headed towards another heel turn. I mean, we'll have to wait and see, but I'm telling you, I mean, the war between the Elite and the Blackpool Combat Club. Sometimes you ask yourself to basically see, you know, where things go moving forward. But man, you know, just one hell of a match. I mean, there's a reason why. I mean, I can go on about it, but really, I can get straight to the point. But this particular match, I mean, it went the way a good and unique 10-man tag match would go. I mean, all sides, everybody fighting, all the chaos, and man, I mean, every wrestler had a moment. I think that's the highlight. Every single wrestler had at least one moment, and maybe that's why the match got graded an A-. But then we get to Toni Storm versus Willow Nightingale. Well, I mean, we've seen that many times already, and speaking of Willow Nightingale, I mean, I'll never forget when I was in Tampa in 2021, and I watched Willow Nightingale work. I mean, Willow Nightingale is just absolutely amazing. I mean, you know, she's part of AEW, but she's also performing with New Japan. I mean, she's actually the inaugural Strong Women's Champion, you know, for New Japan. So Willow Nightingale is doing absolutely great. And she's actually had, you know, she's actually been having a feud with the Outcasts, you know, for a while. You know, I'll never forget, I mean, the day that Toni Storm and Saraya turned heel, I mean, it was in a match against Willow Nightingale. When Toni Storm, you know, grabbed hold of, you know, gained the leverage, you know, illegal leverage, you know, through grabbing the tights. So, it's not surprising that Toni Storm, you know, got the win, so. But it was good to see a champion versus champion kind of match, you know, the New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong Women's Champion versus the AEW Women's World Champion. So, you know, of course, the Outcasts get involved. You know, they end up getting kicked out of the match, but, ah, oh boy. I mean, at the end of the day, as far as the Outcasts go, I mean, you know, honestly, I'm happy because, you know, I said to myself, you know, when they turned Ruby Soho heel, I said that they're maybe finally looking to do something right with Ruby Soho, and I think that's been the case. So you can really hit, you can really see that AEW management is really building the Outcasts, and you know, and you got to take things to the next level. So, but of course, you know, with the interference like that, the Outcasts always getting involved. So, you know, I think honestly, I think one of the hiccups from this is you want to see like Toni Storm, you know, like get a clean win, but of course, you know, the heels, it's just always it's always basically the way how it goes. But I think that would be the only complaint is I kind of feel like the way the match should have been ended on a clean basis. But you know, honestly, you know, it is what it is. But you know, again, you know, I kind of feel like, you know, Willow Nightingale and the Outcasts, we're definitely not done with that. But moving on, now we get to Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay. Oh, you know, and I gotta mention, this match was 40 minutes. Well, honestly, precisely, it was 39 minutes and 45 seconds, but rounding it, yeah, a 40-minute match. Now, not long ago at Wrestle Kingdom 17, Will Ospreay lost the IWGP United States Championship to Kenny Omega. In their entrance, I mean, their entrances within itself was unique, and of course, Kenny Omega was performing in his home country, and of course, the match they had back in January 4th, you know, as great as that match was, you know, you always want to basically make sure that this match ends up being better than the previous one, because of course, as we know, in January 4th at Wrestle Kingdom in Tokyo, Kenny Omega beat Ospreay for the championship. So, and Will Ospreay at that point, you know, I had basically been the champion, I think, for the fourth time. He had won the title at the in Osaka back in June of last year. So now that you're looking at it, I mean, the fact that the match, the previous encounter, you know, stole the show. I mean, they only just wanted to make it even better. I always say that Will Ospreay is such a brilliant, unique, one-of-a-kind wrestler. You can just tell that any great match that he has, he's always determined to even make the next one even better. That right there is the art of professional wrestling. Will Ospreay is a freaking artist in the ring, man. Will Ospreay, honestly, you watch this guy wrestle, this is something that you want to tell your friends. I mean, even your friends that are not even wrestling fans. This is something you want to tell them. And again, you know, right now I'm trying to fight the frustration that I was unable to see the actual show because again, I was watching highlights. Of course, Callis ends up being in the match as well because, you know, the whole thing, you know, Don Callis, you know, the whole thing, you know, ever since he turned on Kenny Omega. We're really going to see, you know, Don Callis just cause even more, cause Kenny Omega even more problems, so. But, of course, you know, Callis ended up being, ejected from the ring, and the way you see it, you know, and speaking of Ospreay, you know, him being the leader of the United Empire, you know, a couple of guys at the United Empire actually worked a match in the pre-show. They actually lost to Los Ingobernables de Japón. I mean, I hope I didn't butcher that, but Jeff Cobb, Cal Fletcher, and T.J. Perkins all worked that match, you know, a six-man tag match. So of course, you know, Will Ospreay was determined to actually at least put his side on one winning end. So, but man, but the fact that this match went 40 minutes, oh man. I mean, again, you know, I'm just basically losing my train of thought. I mean, my ability to speak because just how difficult it is to explain, you know, just in such a unique way of how this match went. Because this match, to totally understand how it went, is you just have to see it. You have to see it. And man, all the times that these wrestlers just work their ways, you know, out of, like, situations. I mean, both wrestlers were a bloody mess at one point. And at one point when Will Ospreay used a screwdriver to escape Kenny Omega's one-winged angel. Oh, man. The way, I mean, and he broke out of it and then hit the Stormbreaker, but, you know, but didn't get the win, but Will Ospreay, you know, being the heel, the way he did it, it's just, you know, at one point, when Omega hit the one-winged angel on Ospreay, and then Ospreay, you know, kicked out and got a massive pop out of it, man. And then after that, you know, one other near fall, man. The match was just thrilling moments after thrilling moments. It's like these wrestlers just did not want to stop, but they knew they had to go so far that they had to wait at one point for the finish to be just right, and that's exactly what they did. There is a reason right there that Bleacher Report graded this match grade A+. I saw the highlights, as many highlights as I could on this match particularly. This match truly has to be, like, because I know if I get a chance to watch the whole match, I can already tell that this is going to be probably the greatest match I have ever seen. Ever. And this might not be right for me to say, but I'm sorry, but when you have two brilliant, unique wrestlers like Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay working a match like that, I mean, the fact that the crowd was chanting before the match even started, and the fact that at one point Ospreay even, like, disrespected the Canadian flag, man. You know, Ospreay, you know, doing, you know, the typical heel stuff, so. Oh, man. And the way Ospreay, you know, got color when Omega was, I mean, well, the way Ospreay was slamming Omega's head into the announce table, man. I mean, these two guys just went to, these guys went to absolute war in the match, didn't disappoint. But speaking of another match that, Sting, Darby Allin, and Tetsuya Naito versus Jericho, Guevara, and Minoru Suzuki. Oh, man. I'll never, you know, based on what I've read, you know, and from the highlights as well, you know, when Sting came into the match, Jericho wanted in. This was basically a little nostalgic moment. These two stars from WCW go toe-to-toe. The Stinger versus Chris Jericho. Oh, boy. Oh, and that was just the way the brawling, you know, really started, so. And it's just interesting, not surprisingly, the crowd was actually singing, you know, of course they were singing Judas, of course, is Jericho's, you know, theme music, and of course, Kaiser Ninare. Man, you know, it was actually Guevara and Naito that started the match, and, you know, of course, the Spanish God. Man. You know, everybody, you know, sometimes I'm still feeling like if Sammy Guevara is headed towards another face turn, I mean, I think it probably will, because I'm still kind of feeling like in the future we're going to see matches between Sammy Guevara and Chris Jericho, with Guevara as the face and Jericho as the heel. But we'll have to see when that happens before I talk about it. But, you know, it's interesting that this match was after the Kenny Omega versus the Will Ospreay, you know, thriller. But this match, you know, I'll never forget, you know, at one point when Sammy Guevara performed, you know, that move, you know, and put Sting through a table. I mean, Sting at this point of his life and career is still taking those dangerous bumps. I mean, Sting has still got it, but. Now, this match is obviously not going to be, not in the category of match of the night, or certainly not match of the year, but it's definitely not a show-stealing match as well, but this match is still respectable. Now, the fact that Naito pinned Suzuki, you know, for the match, to end the match, it doesn't surprise me, because I kind of feel like that's the way clearly it should go. But man, I really honestly like this match, while it might not be the show stealer or not like in a category of match of the night or match of the year, I feel like this match was very good. Certainly could have been better, but still, I can honestly say that based on what I saw from the highlights, the match itself was certainly respectable. But again, to get the full experience, and unfortunately, it was would be for me to watch the entire show. But I think I saw enough of it. So, oh man. Yeah, the fact that at one point they were chanting "Murderous Grandpa," and those chants were for Suzuki. Oh man, and seeing Darby Allin, I mean, man. I always like, you know, I continue to say that the whole thing with Darby Allin and Sting is just one of the greatest things ever, and, you know, it's definitely good for Darby Allin, but, oh boy. One hell of a six-man tag match, and again, you know, seeing Chris Jericho and Sting in the ring, I want to see Chris Jericho and Sting go one-on-one. I gotta see them go one-on-one. Now we are at the main event. Bryan Danielson versus Kazuchika Okada. Oh, man. And, well, I should have mentioned, speaking of Bryan Danielson, I saw that he actually, they said that there was actually an injury that came up during the match, although I'm not sure exactly where what to say about it, but I'm kind of looking to see if it's actually been confirmed. Yeah, he actually has been injured. Okay, so according to Wrestling Inc., he suffered a fractured forearm, and Bryan Danielson, as a result, is out for 6 to 8 weeks. So, man, it's rather unfortunate, and especially, you know, the fact that Bryan Danielson revealed that this happened, he revealed in the media scrum after that he suffered a fractured forearm in a, quote, freak accident. And this was when Okada gave him a simple elbow drop, and this was actually 10 minutes left in the match, so, man. So now that he's out for 6 to 8 weeks, at least they were able to have, you know, the great match, so fans were in it. I mean, chanting, "This is awesome." I mean, it's good to see Bryan Danielson just be himself, like, be the American Dragon. I mean, this match right here is something that we never got to see in WWE. I mean, Daniel Bryan had many great he was Daniel Bryan in WWE, but Daniel Bryan had great matches in WWE, but this match right here, this is where we see the true Bryan Danielson. This is where we see the true American Dragon. Ugh. Man, and the fact that that Danielson actually won by submission, man, I never would have expected Okada to actually, you know, to submit to this, but, you know, but the fact that we saw Danielson submit to MJF in that particular match, you know, and this match, you know, going about 28 minutes, you know, you talk about another movie blockbuster, like, thriller kind of match, I mean, Okada proved once again how tough he is. I mean, Okada, man. And of course, as we know, Okada is the Rainmaker, and and never forget, you know, those matches. You know, I think the matches that he had with Jericho about 5 years ago, when Chris Jericho was with New Japan after his run with WWE. So, and at one point when Danielson hit the flying knee, but could not make the cover, but then. And then hit the knee again, but this time, you know, it was a near fall. And I think at one point, you know, even Danielson said that he was gonna kick Okada's effing head in. I mean, Danielson being the heel that he was, it's just, even Danielson had a hard time, you know, basically putting in the label lock. So, at least, I mean, I'm not sure what he calls it right now. I mean, it was called the no lock and the yes lock, you know, during the time in WWE, but, man, it was tough. I mean, he couldn't get his signature move, you know, locked in, and then, the crowd was just, you know, at first the crowd was shocked with how, you know, the match ended, you know, with the submission, but, Yeah, but then at one point, I mean, both guys got a round of applause. I mean, man, we talk about Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega being the man of the match. I mean, I gotta say, it's definitely an all-out war between this match and the Omega Ospreay match. I mean, which match was the match of the night? The way I see it is, you know what? The fact that we had more than one match that is in a category and for nomination for match of the night, that right there is the blessing. I mean, more than one match, you know, got an A plus. I mean, this whole show, this whole wrestling card, as I said at the beginning of this episode, that right there, ladies and gentlemen, that's professional wrestling. That's professional wrestling at its best. And I gotta tell you, I would not be surprised if there's a rematch in this. There's gotta be. Because, you know, the fact that Okada taps out like this, I mean, it would be bad for management to end it on this kind of note. They have to put a rematch, but again, it's gotta be at the right time. So I think that, basically, because Danielson is injured, I mean, it's unclear when the match will take place. But like I said, I mean, it's clearly obvious that there's definitely gonna have to be a rematch, and quite frankly, when it happens, you know, I'll certainly be excited for it. I wouldn't even be surprised if the rematch took place in Japan. I think honestly, I think it should. It should take place in Japan. If it takes place in Japan, then Okada can actually take the win, and with the series tied at one win apiece, you know what? A third rematch, because basically this has to be best of three. And if the next match is great, okay, and then the match after that, when it's tied at one, if that match ends up being even better, you know what? Why not make it a best of five? If the matches continue to be so great, best of seven. Why not? There's always ideas that can be formed based on the outcome of storylines and matches. But let's not rush. But right now we need Bryan Danielson to, you know, get healthy again, you know, like this. Again, a fractured forearm. But man, this match was brutal, technical. I mean, this fit the style of the fighting style of both guys. Bryan Danielson and Okada. Oh boy. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. And the fact that Okada, you know, you see how he is, you know, the rainmaker. You know, I'll never forget that match he had with Jericho when Jericho was the painmaker. You know, when Jericho tells a story saying, Okada's the rainmaker, so I'm the painmaker. I mean, Okada's just, man. I mean, I'm telling you, New Japan Pro Wrestling is just one hell of a promotion. I mean, Japanese professional wrestlers are as tough as they come, but they are so brilliantly unique. I mean, the Japanese strong style, the style of professional wrestling that is produced in Japan is just absolutely incredible. And when you see New Japan work with AEW, my God, it's exciting. This match right there, this particular wrestling show, had I been there in person to see this whole thing, as I walk out of the arena in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, I would be in tears because I witnessed something absolutely amazing. This is something that I want to tell all my pro wrestling friends, all my friends that are fans of professional wrestling. Like, this is something you want to tell them because I was there. Man, see, again, this, as I said at the beginning of this episode, this, ladies and gentlemen, is what I call professional wrestling. AEW, New Japan Pro Wrestling, Forbidden Door 2023, one hell of a show, and even though I only saw the highlights, I saw extensive highlights, still, I got a great experience out of it, and my God, I'm just basically hungry to see the entire show. My God, this was just absolutely amazing. Man. Man, oh man, oh man, it's just, at the end of the day, it's just good to see Bryan Danielson be his absolute self. Like, you see a different, I mean, you don't see the Daniel Bryan we saw in WWE. I mean, we see the American Dragon here. We see Bryan Danielson be the man that he was always meant to be in professional wrestling. Bryan Danielson, Okada, I absolutely applaud you for giving me one hell of a match. AEW, New Japan Pro Wrestling, I applaud you for producing one hell of a show. Again, ladies and gentlemen, that right there is what I call professional wrestling. Forbidden Door 2023, that right there was unique professional wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, you can find Ringside Chaos on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube. So please do me a favor, hit the subscribe button and be sure to hit the notification bell. That way, I know for sure that you will not be missing out on any exciting upcoming content for Ringside Chaos. Remember, Ringside Chaos is the show for all of you out there that love professional wrestling. So if you know somebody that loves professional wrestling and they are looking for a great pro wrestling podcast, Ringside Chaos is the show for them. Thank you very, very much, ladies and gentlemen, and God bless.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.